Good morning and welcome to East Early Evangelical. I would like to start off with a portion of scripture.
This morning's scripture is Psalm 51. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the uttermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness like the bones which you have broken, rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken heart. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. By your favour, do good to Zion, build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in righteous sacrifices, in burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then young bulls will be offered on your altar.
Our first song is Purify My Heart.
And precious.
is The World Was in Darkness.
Glory now revealed. Good morning. Can we turn to Matthew chapter 10, please? Right, and we'll just pray before we begin, shall we? Father, we do thank you, Lord, that we can gather here in the name of your Son, the one who saved us, the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, and we thank you, Lord, that your word is truth, as the Lord spoke, Lord, and we pray that you will sanctify us and bless us in your word this morning, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, so, interesting, Gary preached from a parallel passage in Luke last week, but I think the theme is different this week. But we'll begin in verse 1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor a bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food. Now whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return unto you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speaks, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly, I say to you that you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be made known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach in the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." So we see the Lord commissioning his disciples and sending them out. And we see the way he sends them out. First of all, verse 1, it says, when he called them, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. And in verse 8, it says, he says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. So the Lord sent them in power. They had power in the physical realm, didn't they, to heal people, but power also over the demonic realm. When they came back later, Jesus said to them, you know, rejoice not that the demons are subject to you, but rather rejoice that you are, your names are written down in heaven. So he sent them out in power. And in verse 5, he said, there was an order. He sent them out in order. He said, don't go to the Gentiles or to the Samaritans. Not yet, at least. First of all, go to the house of Israel. So he sent them in power, he sent them in order. And he sent them out by faith as well, didn't he? Verse 9, he says, provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belt. So don't take any money. Don't take a bag. Don't take two coats, two pairs of shoes or staffs. And that's really to go in faith, isn't it? That I think if we were to go out like this, what would we take? I think, well, I'll need a waterproof coat. I'll need a spare hat in case I lose one. We might need a sleeping bag, maybe a tent. We'd certainly need a wind-up torch, maybe a wind-up radio. And we'd have a long, long, long list of all the things that we'd need, wouldn't we? But he sent them out with none of that. He said, look, go. Trust the Lord. The Lord will provide. The Lord will look after you. So he sent them out in power. He sent them out in order and in faith. And I think that's a model for us today, isn't it? Although our commission is not at that time. We're commissioned in a different time. I think that still applies. We need to go with the Lord's power. And we go out in order as well, don't we? And we go by faith, certainly, because we look at the world today and the way it's deteriorating. We certainly need faith, don't we? We need the Lord to look after us. And it also tells us something about Jesus's view of Christians and the way the world views Christians. Verse 16, he says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So sheep obviously have no defence against wolves, do they? Wolves have got big, sharp, pointy teeth. And the best a sheep has got is maybe a stern headbutt. And the two are not the same. So Christians are weak in a sense, aren't they? In this world anyway. But thankfully we have power with God. And he says, because of this, because you are sheep in the midst of wolves, he said, you need to be wise. You need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And sometimes as Christians, we get that the wrong way around, don't we? We've seen Christians who are, you know, harmless as serpents and wise as doves. We do need to understand. You know, it says that the Apostle Paul writes, doesn't he? We are not ignorant of his devices, speaking of Satan. So we do need to be wise. We need to know what's going on in this world and the way the enemy operates. And verse 22, it says, you will be hated by all for my name's sake. And verse 25, it says, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much will they call those of his household? And I think we see this now. This there's a brooding hatred for Christians in the demonic realm, and I think that's beginning to manifest itself now in our world. The demonic has always had its influence in our world. It's always influenced people to go a certain way and come up with certain ideas. In 1 Timothy 4, it says there's doctrines of devils, doesn't it? Some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So there are devils out there who are seeking to seduce people and seeking to plant their doctrines into their minds that they will influence the world. And I think that that's happened for many years, obviously. We've had an occult invasion over the last 100 years. We've now got the New Age is coming out, and none of this stuff is speaks complementarily of Christians. They have a counterfeit religion, don't they? It says, from such turn away. Be wary of these people. You know, I see it in some of the groups I'm in. This woman, goddess Gaia, and she's saying, pray about this. And I'm thinking, well, who are you praying to? If you are a goddess and you are Gaia, who exactly are you praying to? Because you're not praying to the one that I'm praying to. And we see Christians getting sucked into this, into the sort of the patriot movement, and being moulded in the way of the world, thinking that if we fight back and do what the world does, we'll win. But I'm not sure that that's the story that the Bible tells us. So we're going to verse 21 here. It says, brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. So we see verse 21, it says that Christians, and obviously that's talking about that time, wasn't it? That time and place. But I think there's an eschatological view of this as well. I think we're getting closer to a time when this will come back. So we see verse 21, Christians will be betrayed, in some cases by their own family. Verse 22, you will be hated. Verse 23, persecuted. And verse 25, you'll be slandered. And this is not the sort of nice, easy Christianity that we hear preached in the village Anglican church, is it? Where, you know, come and get involved in the bake sale and the car boot sale and everything's wonderful. That's not how Jesus tells it, is it? And these are all things which, when you read them from a human perspective, you think, oh, that sounds a bit scary, doesn't it? That's all scary stuff, you know, slandered and hated, betrayed by your family, slaughtered. And it puts me in mind of these days. You look around today, there's plenty of things that are creating fear. And I'm currently working from home, so I can see people passing my window, and I can see, you know, loosely speaking, what's going on. And a few weeks back, I noticed it's as if there's a fear knob that's been turned up, and all of a sudden the masks came back. One person, and then two, and more, and more, and more masks. And the masks are back in force. So you go to the supermarket now, a few weeks back, hardly any mask. Now they're coming back because the fear is being turned up in the media, the press, and the scary charts are back. The charts are going up now. They're not going down. And you hear story after story after story. You read the comments in the Daily Mail. A lot of people are bored to death of it. But the media are working, and the more susceptible people are to believe in the media, the more open they are to this fear. And you look at some of the things recently. Someone sent me a video. There was this Sainsbury's was sort of closed for renovations, and the guy had filmed himself going in, and there were gates being put up at the entrances where you had to scan a QR code to get in. And he's saying, what's this? Oh, we're just trying out new technology. And he said, this is the COVID pass, isn't it? Oh, it's just new technology. So we've got this on the periphery, haven't we? You know, we've got no jab, no job policies. I saw on the Jeremy Vine show, there was a guy actually arguing that if people haven't had the jab, could we send them to prison? That's the level of debate in this country now. And whatever your view is, you know, whether you're pro or against, whether you want to take it or whether you don't, other people should be free to follow the course of action. God has given us freedom, hasn't he? He's given us freedom, and people are trying to take away freedom. And when you see these signs that freedom is being restricted and curtailed, that's something to look around and go, oh, what's happening here? In Australia, they've built camps to quarantine people. I think probably in the 40s, they probably would call them concentration camps, maybe. Now they're called well camps, which has got a nice fuzzy Orwellian sound to it. And in Holland, they were firing on protesters the other day. So there's plenty of things, humanly, in this world to be scared of, isn't there? That the fear in us might be turned up. But Jesus says, when he describes all these things, verse 26, he says, "Therefore do not fear them." He gives you all this list of very scary things that will happen to the apostles, and he says, "Therefore don't fear them." It's counterintuitive, isn't it, to us humanly? But it's, we need to look at things in the right way. We need to have a view of our life which is appropriate in view of the Bible and in view of eternity as well. He says, "Therefore do not fear them. There's nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known." And this is true, isn't it? All this stuff we see now that was previously hidden, it's all being uncovered. We see all the links that, you know, Fauci's got to, you know, investing in gain-of-function research and all this stuff. We see all the election fraud, it's coming out. Project Veritas in the States. And the guy got raided, didn't he, by the FBI, the guy who's running it. But all this stuff is being uncovered now, just as Jesus said it would be. And there's another word for revealed, isn't there, for covered, occult. Occult means hidden. And all the occult stuff now is being revealed. That's these guys are major players in the world, the occult, but it's all being revealed now. It's all being uncovered. But Jesus says, verse 28, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Jesus is telling us there that your soul is more important than your body. When we grow up, you know, we've got young kids now. You get scared of door hinges, don't you? And doors being closed on fingers because it causes a lot of pain. So when we're young, it's natural for us to tell our children, you know, don't be scared of this. That could hurt you. And because of that, we get conditioned to we are our body, don't we? We just wear our body, actually. We're getting a new body. We just wear this fleshly body for now. It's our soul that lasts forever. And Jesus is saying, you shouldn't, there's all this scary stuff. Don't be afraid. He's saying, because essentially, God has got you. You've put your trust in Jesus. It doesn't matter what they do to you, because I'll look after you. Let's look at John chapter 11, briefly. John 11, 25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? So the Lord is telling us, first of all, he who believes in me will never die. You can't die. But in the previous verse, though he dies, he shall live. That yes, you can die physically, but there's a sense in which you can't die. Your soul, your spirit goes on. So death for the Christian is essentially a curtain, isn't it? It's not a wall. It's not an abyss. It's a curtain. It's a curtain that you open, you step through. And it's that context that we need to view our lives in. Our way of thinking is very often too human, isn't it? We need to remember what the Lord has told us and think of things in the way he tells us to think, that he who believes in me shall never die. Let's keep your finger there in John 11 and go to Deuteronomy 32. Sorry, I seem to have ended up in Numbers somehow. Right, Deuteronomy 32 and verse 39, it says, "Now see that I, even I, am he. There is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Nor is there any that can deliver from my hand." And we flip back to John and you see what Jesus is saying. "I am the resurrection and the life." And the God of the Old Testament is telling us, "I kill and I make alive. I wound, I heal. There's no God beside me." Jesus is claiming there to be God, isn't he? He's telling us about his divinity. He's saying, "Look, this is who I am." And this is why we can trust him, isn't it? This is why his words are accurate, they're powerful, they're believable because of who he is. It's his identity, not just because his words sound nice. His disciples said to him, "Where shall we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life." And that's what he's telling us. "He who believes in me will never die." And let's look briefly at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And that is a correct biblical view, isn't it? Too often we get sucked into the world and, you know, we sometimes get engulfed in the cares of the world, don't we? And the fears of this world. And there's plenty of fear in this world today, isn't there? And rightly so. Because a lot of people don't have any hope, but we have a hope, don't we? We have a hope that is eternal. And as the song says, we have a hope that is steadfast and sure. And this is the way we need to look at the world. That, you know, "Fear not those who can kill the body, but fear him who can kill both body and soul in hell. But he who believes in me will never die. And the things which are unseen are permanent." The things which we see now are temporary. So to some degree, all of this is, the fear is illusion. It's Satan, it's the enemy trying to control the world, because they know that people are easily manipulated by fear. But we as Christians should not be, because it says that God has given us a power, sound mind, a power. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, has he? He's given us a spirit of sound mind and power and of love. And perfect love, of course, casts out fear, doesn't it? So again and again, Jesus tells us, "Therefore, do not fear them." There are all these scary things, but don't fear them. So we've got to get an appropriate biblical view of life and where we're going and eternity. And that this life is just passing through, isn't it? We're just like Abraham as he dwelt in tents, tabernacles. We're just passing through this life. We're on the way to the celestial city, as it says in the great John Bunyan book. Okay, so we've got to have a proper biblical view of life, but also of fear. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs 1 verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So there is a place for fear, isn't there, in the Christian heart? But it's a fear of God. That's what Jesus says, isn't it? Don't fear those who can kill your body. Fear him who can kill both body and soul in hell. But this is the appropriate biblical fear. And if we look at Proverbs 23, 29. Proverbs 29 verse 25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." And that's what we see, isn't it? We see men trying to create fear everywhere. And what are they doing? They're trying to ensnare people, aren't they? They're trying to get people in their snare. But we need to fear God, don't we? We need to fear the Lord and not fear man. And when you see all this, I mean, I haven't watched television for years. Turn it off. I don't know how my father sits there and soaks it in for hour after hour. Because that's how they want you to be. They want you to be saturated in fear. And it's good to know this stuff as well, isn't it? But it's never been easy, never been easier in history than to just soak yourself in fear. Because you're in all these groups, you get all these emails from people. It's good to have understanding of what's going on. But there's a balance to be found, isn't there? That we've got to trust God. Fear the Lord. We've got to read his word as well, and not just spend time watching the things that the world is scared about, because we don't need to fear these things, do we? Let's look at Psalm 23 very briefly. Verse 4, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." But the Lord is always with us, isn't he? He is our great shepherd. And he's always seeking to look after us and protect us. And the psalmist says he will fear no evil. Doesn't say there's none out there. Plenty out there. For the sheep, there's wolves everywhere, isn't there? There's wolves, there's bears, there's lions in those days. Plenty to fear, but he says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not fear." And this is the appropriate biblical view of fear, isn't it? That we fear God and we don't fear man. It says, is it in Matthew? It says, men's hearts failing them for fear of the expectation of the things that are coming upon the world. Well, we're getting to that point, aren't we? It's being turned up, but we need to trust the Lord and cling to him and cleave to his word and crack his word open and read it. So Daniel 11. Daniel 11 verse 32. And this is speaking, of course, when the Antichrist arrives. "Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." And I think that applies to us as well, doesn't it? Those who know their God shall be strong. And we need to be strong, don't we? We sang the song before, didn't we? Be brave, be strong. And it's a time to be brave, isn't it? Because you only need to be brave when there are plenty of things to be scared about. You don't need to be brave making your breakfast or making a cup of tea. You only need to be brave when there's danger, don't you? And there really are things that would make you scared. But that's what we need to do. We need to be strong. And it says, that's encouraging, isn't it? They will carry out great exploits. It says that we can do things, can't we? We can speak to people, they can get saved. And that, this is what God says. Yes, of course, it's in the end times. But I think to a lesser degree, it still applies now. There are still, God can still use us now. Before the rapture, I hope that's not very long. but God can still use us now. He's still looking for people who love him, who want to serve him, and who've got a heart to reach the lost. And if that's us, then God can use us. But this is just to give us an appropriate view of fear, really. And when you, because I suspect now, coming up shortly, I suspect they would like to do away with Christmas. So I think you will probably see that fear knob turned up more and more and more. There's lockdowns in other countries, isn't there? Austria, we can think of for one. And I suspect they would like another one here. So I think soon and very soon we'll see that knob turned up. The charts will be made to go the other way. People will be asked to go out and get more tests leading to more false positives, or maybe even true positives. The charts will go up. The fear will be cranked up. But we're not to fear, are we? We're to trust in the Lord and be bold and be strong. Bless you.
And our last song is Stand Up, Stand Up for Jesus.